Hello, this is Frank Peters, and you're listening to Santa Barbara Cyclist. Thanks for joining me once again. Today, I have another podcast interview with a candidate for mayor, City of Santa Barbara. Okay, I'm here today with Bendy White. Bendy, you're running for mayor.
I am indeed.
You are.
Great to be here.
Yeah, thank you for joining me. And Bendy, you're on the city council right now.
I am, and have been for, this is coming up to being 8 years.
8 years?
As of December, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that a term out time?
It is term out time.
Now, has it always been 8 years, or?
No. I mean, term limits came in, 20 to 30 years ago, something like that.
Oh,
so
okay.
a while back, but not deep in dark history.
Mm-hmm. And Bendy, you and I have bumped into each other a few times. I look forward to this time we're going to spend together, and a smile comes to my face because, what, do you have a sense of humor? Are you known for a sense of humor, or is it just me?
Absolutely.
No, yeah.
It sneaks out rather than having it all set up. I don't contrive my jokes in advance, but I do look for the humor in our situations as they come at us.
Very good. So, Bendy, I see a lot of Bendy White's lawn signs. Tell me about that. People like them.
Well, there are two, I think, really honest forms of advertising in local politics, and word of mouth is one, and lawn signs is another. I think that people put lawn signs out as something that they're willing to stand up for their candidate, and mm-hmm. So I work at that, and I think that others do too. It's just it's one of those sort of that does bring a smile to my face because it's local politics, I think, and in one of its better forms.
In one of its better forms, yeah. Let's talk about one of my favorite Bendy White moments. Just happened, was it a week ago? We were up by the Natural History Museum, Bendy. There was a mayoral forum that night. Was it the
right.
Women's
exactly.
Club?
Yes.
Of Santa Barbara.
Rockwood.
There. Rockwood. When it was your turn to make an introductory remark, you went all out and called the Bicycle Master Plan a masterpiece. Oh, that sounded good to me. So let's talk about the Bicycle Master Plan.
Let's.
What is it that appeals to you the most of it?
Well, I would say that a third of it is visionary. A third of it is practical. And I'll leave the third open for other interpretations. But I think the fact that first of all, that we're, I am so pleased that we have a competent team of engineers and planners in the city of Santa Barbara who can quantify, can look at our little city and find opportunity. Even this, and of course now one of them is now, I consider him still a new engineer there, but it's getting to be something like 5-6 years that he's been there. But he saw that Haley Street had just enough space for a bike lane. Well, it's not the greatest, most scenic avenue in town, but he saw it and knew that it could be converted, that a bike way could be put in there, bike lane could be put in there with some white paint. So those being opportunistic is one of the key ingredients of managing anything. We do it every day in our lives, just taking advantage of the day and of the situation.
Right.
You go one block to the southeast there, and you end up on Gutierrez Street. Well, Gutierrez Street has the space for it, but that concrete, it was a street created probably a century ago, and they said, we're going to do it right the first time. We're going to make it out of concrete. which was wonderful for the first 50, 60 years. But now, this century later, it's really tough. And it's tough. It's, you as a bicyclist could probably tell me more about that. It's not as bike friendly of a street.
Traffic's moving too.
The traffic
moves.
A lot
of traffic. Yeah.
But in any case, that would be one where in the future, we're going to need to redo that street. And then at that point, it would be perhaps more bicycle friendly.
And in the meantime, Akota is going to get there. It's going to be the complement to Haley. It's going to go west. It's going to bring you back to downtown.
Exactly.
From the east side. And I know a lot of people are excited about that because they talk about it as the first protected bike lane. It's not going to be protected the entire way, but people are going to like that, I suspect. And they're going to want more, some physical separation from traffic. And you know, there we go from there.
Exactly. One more nibble in, which is very much the way of Santa Barbara planning. Mm-hmm. It is one of the greater sacrifices that will be made, however, because a good deal of parking will be lost on Cota Street.
Right.
So that's a tough trade-off.
It's a tough trade-off.
Yeah.
Fortunately, my assessment, I'm new to town. But it's mostly like commercial parking. If it were residential, that makes it even harder. Am I right?
That's a good question. I hadn't thought of that. Parking is sacrosanct, and it's tough no matter where.
Right.
And I actually had a visit with a woman who's running a business there, which brings people to that area in groups. And she's very worried. So how can we work that out? Are there going to be opportunities over the long haul or medium haul for example, is there an apartment complex there where the spaces are vacant during the day and the businesses could use them? Are there opportunities like that where we're making better use of our parking 24/7 rather than having it be used either for residential at night and for commercial during the day, and then it sits vacant the rest of the time.
Well, cities are all about change. And so we'll give this a try, I guess, and there'll be derivative ideas that come from it, I'm sure.
Truly. Well, you started with the Bicycle Master Plan and that it's a masterpiece. The fact that this combination of vision and practicality is so exciting. And then on top of that, the funding. The ideas that have been crafted have actually competed for state dollars and have been very successful. In fact, as I understand it, we're getting more dollars per capita of alternative transportation plan funds than any other community in the state.
We have good grant writers here. Is that part of it?
Well, that's one part of the chain. We have good ideas to begin with.
Yeah.
You have to have something that is compelling. It meets criteria of providing services and minimizing disruptions.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited about that piece going forward.
I've often thought, because I'm new to Santa Barbara, I came from a very bicycle-friendly city, Portland, Oregon. And then to really get to know Santa Barbara, of course, is to appreciate the impact of tourism here. They're coming here to escape the stresses of daily life in the big city, and potentially better bicycle access will make them want to come back.
Well, I hope so. I mean, we're seeing, you go to places, you talk about the big city. Here's New York, who's making very aggressive moves to have bicycles be not just little touristic devices, but something that's a serious part of their transportation system.
Mm-hmm. I think we were all greatly encouraged to see that, and it reinforces something I'm saying all the time. Bicycle advocacy, to really accomplish what you want, you need political will to make it happen.
True. Very true.
It's just that simple. How about you, Bendy? Are you riding a bike these days?
I am not. I have a bad knee.
Bad knee.
And so it makes it harder for me to use a bicycle.
Mm-hmm. harder for walking too? Or?
Yeah, no, it's just as something that I end up actually in the pool is one of my primary forms of exercise that doesn't the non weight bearing seems to to work a little better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everybody says that's great exercise too. Where do you like to swim? You swim in the ocean?
I do some, yeah. And particularly well now it's cooled off now, but in the warmest time of the summer I can get in there. But yes, I have the Santa Barbara Athletic Club is the place where I frequent to keep body and soul together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there are so many issues in this campaign. I've heard them all. You have too, and responded to so many. What are some of your favorites?
Well,
where do we start?
Policy base. What's policy. My policy base?
Yeah.
And it starts with bringing forward the visions that our predecessors have embedded in our community, our the character of our neighborhoods, which are just each one is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
And as we change, one of our jobs is to do no harm, do as little harm as possible to protect and nurture those neighborhoods. Then from there, our infrastructure. We have really Proposition 13, 40 plus years ago, shut off the investment flow, or at least titrated it down in the state of California, such that we used to have, when I was young, we had the best infrastructure in the world. Best streets, best water systems, best schools. And that starvation of funds has manifested itself in our streets now being on the edge of really virtual collapse.
Yeah, right. Of course, everybody can relate to that, right? I ride my bike down Anacapa. I walk along across the street at the corner at Anacapa, and it's treacherous even on foot, some of these spots.
Exactly.
So we have a lot of work to do there.
We do. So that sort of, we can use the word couplet, which is so important in bicycle planning, to say that the concept of rehabilitating our streets, sidewalks, drainage systems, and buildings is matched up with Measure C.
And the sales tax.
The sales tax, which is it's one possible solution. Frankly, our tax system is so messed up that it's Band-Aids on Band-Aids. And this is one more Band-Aid on our system that is an opportunity. We started this conversation talking about how do you as a local government agent, you need to be opportunistic. So we need to grab this penny of sales tax before somebody else does, and use it to rehabilitate our infrastructure. Over the long term, we're roughly a $30 billion system. You said that you had worked in angel investing, so that those numbers don't totally scare you or blow you away. But we are a $30 billion system here, and we need $1 billion worth of rehabilitation. It's not out of line. It's a 3% investment on that. Mm-hmm. And this is to preserve some of the most valuable real estate in the world.
Right. Does that resonate as you're out talking to your constituents? Everybody can relate to infrastructure?
Well, that's a great question. And it resonates with me. Mm-hmm. And I'm still in the cockpit, as it were, and so I try to report out from what I'm seeing here. Mm-hmm. I've been working on that infrastructure issue my entire time in the city, starting with the Water Commission 30 years ago, where I observed that we had a 500-year replacement schedule on our water pipes. Which means, every, half millennium, we're gonna put in a new pipe. That didn't work. So
something more frequent?
Yeah, so what we are at now, and that started 30 years ago, we're now on a 100-year cycle. So what that's meant is over the last 30 years that I've been in local government, we have replaced 60 miles of pipe.
Sounds like a lot.
It is. That's a quarter of our system.
Wow.
So that's a good start on that system. And it's mm-hmm. long term. It's nothing sexy. Mm-hmm. But every year, it's 2.5 miles of pipe that go into the ground mm-hmm. and so get paid for. And get paid for, very importantly.
So
that's one, is infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And do no harm, to our neighborhoods. And then what's exciting also is State Street. It's obviously problematic now with the challenges that sticks and bricks retail is facing. So here we have a situation
lots of for lease signs in the windows, lots of
for
vacancies.
Lease signs in the windows, exactly. So here we are in a community of very valuable real estate. Most those of us that were fortunate to buy a home decades ago see ourselves wealthier as a result. But yet here we look to our central core, and it's struggling. And it is an opportunity to bring residential, which we need, to the downtown core.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hopeful that this is a place where, while there's lots of contention about many issues, I think that this is a place where minds could meet and we could jazz things up.
So that's often called mixed use, mixing residential and commercial retail together and restaurants. That sounds like a pretty exciting place to live. To me, I would be attracted to that.
Well, that's what you're doing right now. That's where you live, isn't
that's
it?
That's right. Yeah.
So it's
right. I live half a block off State Street and love it. Walk to everything.
Exactly. And so that's the idea. It's not like it's a revolutionary thing for our area. We have mixed use projects all over town. So we've had the chance to test drive that model.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hopeful that going forward, we're able to expand on that.
What are some of the challenges to getting that to go?
Well, if it's for sale units, then there are condo associations, which can be problematic. It's a form of governance that can go sideways. And mixtures of if you have a garlicky restaurant underneath a residential complex,
That's a good example. Or noise.
Or noise.
Yeah. Loud.
Mm-hmm. Booze and garlic.
Booze and garlic. Okay. I'm encouraged with the sounds of that. It sounds like it would have great appeal. It would bring vitality in. Maybe the mixture of retail to restaurant might change. More services.
Yep. And for goodness sakes, we need to make sure that we're back to your angel investing concept.
Yeah.
We need the private sector to be inventive and creative,
right.
And the exchange of ideas occur between mm-hmm. between finance and government mm-hmm. to come up with good ideas that are compatible, providing a housing that's affordable and yet are financially feasible.
Affordable housing, it doesn't come easy in Santa Barbara.
It does not.
Yeah.
It usually comes with a concession to market rate as part of the package that a developer can make good profit off of the market rate side and be able to therefore concede some profits on some units.
Affordable units.
Right. And we're talking, what we're really missing in Santa Barbara is the middle. We've done a very good job, and we're doing a good job with what they call capital A affordable, but providing for folks that are definitely on the low end of the economic spectrum. We do better than most Southern California communities in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But what we really have missed is folks that do the work here, that our nurses, our teachers, our service commercial folks. So I'm hopeful that this, that we can provide for that. And there are two ways to do that with these projects. One is to allocate a portion of a project to that use. Another one is to exact fees. And usually that's an option that the developer can take, one way or the other. Do you want to pay money, or do you want to allocate some of your units to the more affordable category?
Mm-hmm. Because I've heard it said that in lieu of more housing, that too many of the people that provide services to residents are living in Oxnard, Camarillo, or Lompoc, and then they're commuting in. And then those people clamor for wider freeways. And anyway, that's the potential drawback to the way things are right now. The widening of the 101 freeway is a contentious issue. You know, a lot of my bicycle friends aren't too enthused about the idea. Let's get into the 101 freeway, Bendy.
Okay. That is, talk about contentious issues.
Is that, I would, is that throw, like one of the most of the campaign, or?
No, it hasn't been so far.
Yeah.
It should be.
Should be.
We have something like six forums this week, so maybe we'll get into it more directly. But, and I would throw in there as well our rail corridor. This was when Measure A is one of our tax increments, our sales tax bonds, which is supposed to be used, is used for transportation purposes, that isn't performing anything like what it should, in my view.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the stated objective of that was to provide a lane on 101 and a train. And the train, think of when you go to Europe or go to the East Coast, are there any cities of 90,000 people or metropolitan areas of 250,000 that don't have decent commuter rail? This is a real gap in our system. And if we did have decent commuter rail, and you didn't mention Ventura. Ventura is a key area for our safety workers, our firefighters and our police force, very much. It just tends to be they want a house with a patch of grass, and they make good money, and so they end up commuting from the Ventura area. Well, it's a long commute if you're using a vehicle, but if you were able to just hop on the train, it should be a half hour ride, and if we connect up with our local transit. We ought to be able, or have bicycle facilities.
Take
there.
More than half an hour, but yeah. And there have been great improvements. The Rincon Trail along the 101. We see a lot of bicycle commuters on there, but that's not for everybody, though.
Yeah, that's the commute. I'm thinking more from the railroad, from the mm-hmm. station to the office, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Again, get back to the New York model of having. Having bikes in key places, you'll see that there with on the subway and exits and
right.
such.
Right. Things like bike share.
Bike share.
Story is that UCSB has put RFP out looking at bike share, like so many, like Washington, D.C. has, like Santa Monica has. Just was up in Portland recently. Many cities have embraced this concept of bike share. It's like bikes on, let's say, every other block, and you can go up and swipe a card somehow, wand a card, and jump on a bike.
And we're definitely in the hunt to do that in the city of Santa Barbara as well. Obviously, it's just the smaller quantity makes it a heavier lift, but it's definitely coming to the city of Santa Barbara.
And then myself, I live so close in. If I had a job downtown, I would just be walking everywhere. So maybe that mitigates. Bike share in downtown Santa Barbara. I don't know.
Well, there are, but if you then you got the next job up at near La Cumbre Plaza, then you might want to be able to use your bike. And
right. At my age, I'm a senior citizen now. I can get a MTD pass for seniors and ride the bus for 55 cents a trip. That's pretty good economy, huh?
It's good if the service is there. Yeah. Obviously, MTD is it's an interesting challenge of how much service do you provide? How far out from the core do you go? The further you stretch, then the poorer the service. And then the trade-off of that is if you provide great service, then people really do depend on it. So that's just one of those balancing acts that we undergo. We see great service and great use between UCSB and downtown. UCSB and City College is the number one volume route. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so those are the kinds of things which we need to make sure we're providing great service for.
I should know, Bendy, but I don't. Is MTD controlled by the city?
It's not. It's not. City. The city has representatives on it, but it's a regional governance situation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, ergo, serving Goleta and the university and Carpinteria to
exactly.
the south, of course.
Exactly.
So is it just South County?
London? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. People talk about autonomous vehicles, Bendy. Do you ever get engaged in conversations like that? People talk about self-driving cars and what impact that might have on the future. Or does somebody running for mayoral office not want to talk about hypotheticals? I don't know. But
well, our staff is starting to talk about it as being, you know, look 10 years down the road and there will be autonomous vehicles. Well, okay. I don't see making specific plans for that now. It does beg the question, as you were talking about earlier, Highway 101. Let's just call that a $1 billion project. Mm-hmm. Is that where $1 billion should go? If you knew that in that kind of time frame that there would be less volume on Highway 101 or more rational use of that space?
That's a good question. Don't build any more parking lots is what I think probably the first conclusion is if you're going to have cars driving people all over the city on demand.
And I think we have this sort of intermediary step of Uber and Lyft, where I know that that's a place that it has rationalized transportation, automobile transportation, in a big way. I mean, if you just do the numbers between owning a car, and particularly a second car, and making use of the on-demand services such as those, it's compelling.
It's compelling.
It's more efficient, and it doesn't slow you down.
Doesn't slow you down
much at all.
I use Uber every chance I get. It just seems to fit in my lifestyle. A lot of times I'll Uber in one direction, Santa Barbara's not that big, and walk home. So it seems to suit me pretty well.
Well, it's here, and it's and of course as the generations change and you know we age and we perhaps drive less and younger generations come along and just don't buy the car. Mm-hmm. Then we're finding that it's just really growing growing like a weed for sure.
Yeah. I've seen my son, and he's 26, and his friends, they've embraced Uber. It was no contest. The places they wanted to go, they don't, especially in Los Angeles, they don't want to be sitting in traffic or have to park. So
exactly.
It's just that simple.
Exactly. Saved many, many fights between my wife and me when we're down in Los Angeles just trying to figure out where the entrance is and just some of the very obvious
things. Right. So, Bendy, as we wind up here, could I get you to share your favorite message to the voters, your voter appeal? What do you say to people as you share?
Well, I say, I'm a Santa Barbara native. I have always had a passion for public service and have served our citizens in a variety of tasks and responsibilities. And I ask for your vote for this election, because I will continue that hands-on work, that honoring of our traditions, yet keeping an eye out for the opportunities that will continue to keep this city growing in healthy ways while protecting our neighborhoods.
Sounds very good, Bendy. Thanks for joining me on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, here we are back in the studio again, and before I say goodbye, I'd like to invite you to come by the website, easy to remember, santabarbaracyclist.com, and you'll find many other podcast interviews just like today's. I've interviewed now 5 different candidates for elected office in Santa Barbara for this election cycle. Check them out, please. And of course, you're listening to Who is going to serve the bicycle community, maybe your interests too, the best? That's why I'm doing these. So check them out, please. All right, that's it for today's show. Thanks so much for listening, and good night.